Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23, we continue our study of the feast. And today, we're going to cover the feast of unleavened bread. As I said last week, you know, oftentimes we look at the Jewish feast and we think, oh, that's a Jewish thing, long past. But no, it has significance. I mean, profound significance for the Christian and the believer today. So today we look at the Feast of Unleavened Bread from Leviticus chapter 23, verse 6. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? And I'll give you another scripture. Exodus chapter 12, verse 14. You can read about the whole thing. Now, we're not going to read this morning, but that's where you can read about when they instituted and observed the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Reading from Leviticus 23, verse 6, it says, "And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. But you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord for 7 days. The seventh day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it." Again, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we need you today to open your word to us and to open our understanding. Father, teach us from your word that we may know the meanings, the profound impact of these feasts. Lord, we love you and we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. You may be seated. Now, as I said last week, there are 7 feasts, all right? There are 4 spring feasts and 3 fall feasts that Israel was commanded to observe every year. The spring feast, or Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of First Fruits, and the Pentecost. The fall feast are the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, each of the spring feasts at this point have been fulfilled. Every one of these feasts will point to Jesus Christ in some fashion or another. Okay? And each of these spring feasts were fulfilled when Jesus Christ was upon this earth. Now today, we look at the second of the spring feasts, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the celebration of the feast, and the commandment to celebrate the feast that began on the 15th day of the month. That was the day after Passover. And as a matter of fact, most Jewish people today celebrate it as one and the same. But it is not one and the same. It's two different feasts. Passover was on the 14th. Feast of Unleavened Bread was on the 15th. But I guess the Feast of Unleavened Bread is an extension of Passover, if you will. But this celebration lasts for 7 days. And there is one theme in this entire celebration, and that is to remove all leaven. Now, leaven is yeast. To remove all leaven from your homes, from your diet, from your bread. Get the leaven out. Don't have contact with it. Get rid of it. Whatever you have to do, put it aside. And this feast, the intent of the feast was to cause Israel to remember the day they came out of Egypt. So for many Orthodox Jews, that is the feast. They remember, you know, they have a holy convocation or a holy assembly on the first and seventh day. They clean out the leaven from their houses, and that's it. But it's so much more significant. You see, leaven is a symbol of sin throughout the Bible. It is a type of sin, and it's a fungus. You know what it is that make rolls so good? It's leaven. And it is a fungus. It causes fermentation. It ferments the sugars within the dough, and it causes the dough to literally decay and become corrupt. And that's what makes it so good, right? I mean, let's face it, you can't beat a good yeast roll, right? But in the Bible, we look at the symbolism. Yeast or leaven throughout the Bible is a symbol of sin. just the way it permeates. You add a little yeast to the flour, it goes all through, it permeates the whole lump. And that's what sin does. You can't have a little bit of sin. I mean, it's kind of like being on a diet. If I get on a diet, I do pretty good after I get on it. But give me a bowl of ice cream or a chocolate brownie and it's over. Okay? I mean, it's kind of like sin. You get rid of it. If you allow a little bit back in, I promise it won't be a little bit for long. Right? It will consume you. It will control you. Now, the custom of the feast was this. In the Jewish home, it would begin with a very meticulous house cleaning. The wife would go through and she would examine the cracks and the corners and the crevices, going everywhere throughout all the house to make sure that everything was wiped down and that there was no leaven in the house. Alright? And when we say leaven, that would be crumbs of bread. Leavened bread, right? So she would be very meticulous, but after she cleaned the house, she would also take 10 small pieces of bread that had leaven in it, and she would hide it throughout the home. And so after she hid the bread in the home, the father would take the children and they would make a game out of it, all right? And they would set out through the house, searching the house high and low, the cracks and the crevices, everything, to find those 10 pieces of bread that Mom had hid somewhere in the house. And here's where it gets really cool to me. You see, before he begins this search of the house, the father would take a candle. He'd have a candle. He'd have a wooden spoon and a feather and a piece of linen cloth. He would carry that throughout the search. And when they would come upon one of the pieces of bread that Mom had hid, they would take that candle. They would set it beside that bread so they could see it. You know, if the bread were here, they'd set that candle beside it. Then they would take that wooden spoon and set it on the other side of the bread and take that feather. They would sweep that bread with the feather over into that wooden spoon. They would continue that process until they had went throughout the whole house and found every piece of bread that Mom had hidden. After they found everything, the dad would take the spoon, the feather, and the bread and wrap it up in a linen cloth. Then he'd put it outside the home where the next morning they would get up and they'd go to the synagogue. They would take that in the synagogue where it would be burned and destroyed forever and ever. Gotten rid of. Now let's put that all into context of what it represents. You see, that house that contained the leaven represents us. You and I. Okay? The temple of God. The initial cleaning represents the complete cleaning that Jesus does when He cleanses the soul of a sinner who comes to Him for salvation. Psalms 103:12 says, as far as east is from the west, so far He has removed our transgressions from us. Oh, listen, I'm glad Jesus takes care of sin. Aren't you? I mean, let's face it, we all have a sin problem. We've always had a sin problem. And there's only one way to get rid of the sin problem. That's through the blood of Jesus Christ that disperses it, never to be remembered again. But even after salvation, I want to share with you, y'all probably don't know this, but once you're saved, we still have a sin problem. Okay? I fight it on a daily basis. And if you'll be honest, you do also. Thoughts that should not be present in our mind, actions, words that we should never speak, actions that we should never do. We still have this problem of sin trying to creep back into our lives after that point of salvation. And as soon as it takes a corner of our life, it doesn't set in a corner. It spreads throughout the whole temple of God. First thing you know, God seems so distant and so, and we seem so empty. It's because of sin. Okay? What we've got to do So we've got to take the candle. You know what that candle represents? The candle represents the Word of God. The psalmist says, it's a light unto my feet, a lamp unto my feet, and a light to my path. Your Word, a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. We take that candle and we begin to search. This is what most Christians don't do anymore. Oh, we go to church and we fulfilled our Christian duties. But when's the last time you really took the Word of God and said, God, show me my sin. Show me where I failed you. Show me what's in my life that should not be. I'll tell you what, if you take the candle of God's Word, He will light up what's on the inside. Those things that maybe you haven't even noticed. It may be a small thing. Like an attitude. Do any of you have attitudes? Not me. I don't have a attitude. I have several of them. Maybe it's a language problem. Any of you have trouble controlling your mouth? Saying things you ought not say? Speaking vulgarity that should not come out of the mouth of a child of God. Maybe it's something small like a seed of bitterness. Maybe it's something big like adultery. But I promise you this, if you use the light of the Word of God, it will reveal to you what's between you and God. Okay? It will expose it. It will illuminate it. Then we take the feather. Once that sin is found, we take the feather, which is supposed to represent the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit descending as a dove came and lit upon Jesus on the day of Pentecost. And that we take that feather and we take that spoon. The spoon representing the cross. The wooden spoon representing the cross. In which Jesus died upon for our sins. And we take that feather, we take that bread, and we put that sin on the cross of Jesus. You know that's the only way you can get rid of sin, don't you? You can't hide it. You can't make up for it. For all of sin that comes short of the glory of God, the wages of sin is death. Okay? You can't get rid of it. The only thing you can do is take it to the cross. But the glorious news of the cross is, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive our sin and take it away. You see that linen cloth in which they would wrap the utensils and the bread, and that represents the righteousness of Christ. Oh, I praise God that I'm not depending on my righteousness to get me to heaven. I'm not depending on my righteousness to overcome my sin, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ and Him alone. You may be saved today. But brother, I'm going to tell you, you've got to go back to the cross every once in a while. You've got to do a search. Paul put it like this, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. I think this is one of the great downfalls of Christianity. Oh, we go to church. We sing our songs. We endure the preaching. We say amen. We go home and we forget about it till next time. But when is the last time you cried out to God, God, show me my sin? Yet we wonder, why is God so different? So distant? It must be my church. It must be the music that we sing. It must be the preacher. No! It's you! And it's me, where we never do a personal evaluation of the sin that hides in the corners and the cracks and the crevices. Instead, we excuse our sin. Oh, everybody's a sinner. That's all right. Jesus loves us anyway. You will not find that anywhere in the Word of God. All right? Well, Brother Doug, when they brought that woman convicted of adultery, and Jesus said, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. Absolutely. I can't throw a stone at you, and you can't throw a stone at me, but I want to tell you what else Jesus did. He didn't say, go on back and continue that sinful lifestyle, did he? He told her. He told her, go and sin no more. What I'm putting, you know, what is this? What is this? This is saying, what am I saying? I'm saying, let's be honest today. Let's do a search. Let's look for leaven. Okay? That's what this feast was all about. Let's look for the sin in our lives. You see, Jesus, as He taught, one thing He told His disciples was beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Okay? Let's look for the leaven of the Pharisees. Luke chapter 12, verse 1. In the meantime, there was an innumerable multitude of people who had gathered together so that they had trampled one another. He began to say to His disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Play acting. Pretending to be something that you're not. That's what a play actor was. That's what a hypocrite was in that day. And all the Pharisees were good at it. They could make a show as they stood on the street corners and they cried out in prayer to God, but they weren't really crying out to God. They were just making a show so people would look at and point their finger and say, oh, look how religious he is. Listen to his wonderful prayer. They would give their offerings, not because they wanted to give offerings to the Lord, but so that people could see, look how much that He's giving to God's work. You see, they made a good show, but there was nothing on the inside. I want to ask you a question today. What's on the inside? What's on the inside? God knows. God knows. And you know. So I want to challenge you. Why do you do what you do? Why do you go to church? There are a lot of people who say, I go to church because my friends go to church. Go to that church. Really? My friends, if that's your motivation to go to church because your friends go to that church, you are a hypocrite. Brother Doug, it's not about your friends. Okay? You don't go to church to worship your friends or to honor your friends. And I don't care if you're 15 years old or if you're 95 years old. It's got to be deeper than that. All right? Now, don't get me wrong. I appreciate friends and I love being here with you and worshiping with you. But never make a mistake. With me, it's all about Jesus Christ when we gather. All right? There are those that I go to this church because of the music. I like the contemporary music. Really? You're a hypocrite. That's right. You see, you're going to church because you like a particular music. Right? It's not about the music. It's about Jesus. And some of you right now are saying, that's right, that old contemporary music's not any good. Well, you're a hypocrite too. Because you like the old stuff. It's not about the type of music. It's about Jesus. Some say, well, I go to church because I like, have you ever heard anybody say, I like small churches? Because you know everybody in a small church. You hypocrite. It's not about knowing everybody. It's not about numbers. Others say, I like a big church because they offer more. You know, they have all these programs. You hypocrite. It's not about big churches. Not about offering programs.
If those are reasons, I'm going to ask you again, why'd you come? Why do you go to church? If it's for any other reason than to honor our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you're a hypocrite. Okay? And I'll say that to you. I'll say that to me. It's all about Jesus. And I'll be honest with you. Now, let's get real honest. This preacher sometimes fails. Sometimes I go to church because I'm supposed to go to church. I've even preached a time or two because I was supposed to preach. You see, preachers can be hypocrites too. But it's not okay to remain a hypocrite. As you search your heart, search your life and your soul, as you look for the leaven, the idea is to get rid of it so that we can draw near to God. Don't be a hypocrite like the Pharisees. Beware the leaven of the Sadducees. You know what the leaven of the Sadducees was? It was very simply unbelief. Matthew 16:6, Jesus told them, beware the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They didn't believe there was a resurrection, no life after death, which I do not get at all, because they were a religious group who didn't believe there was life after death. Why would you be a religious group if you didn't think there was a heaven and a hell? I don't get it, you know. But they were. As a matter of fact, they were leaders in their society. But the leaven of unbelief. You know, there are a lot of people today who are in churches who do not truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Who do not truly believe that when they die, they will stand before God and give account of every deed they've done in this life, whether good or bad. Did you know unbelief is a sin? As a matter of fact, that's the sin that sends you to hell. Okay? It's not because you've been a drunkard. It's not because you were an adulterer. The sin of unbelief is what sends you to hell. Jesus says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Listen, you can't afford not to believe. Oh, and I know in our society, it's becoming very unpopular and politically incorrect to be a believer in Jesus Christ. There are those who live in society whose goal in life seems to be to challenge the belief of the child of God. They want to make you look silly. They want to make you look like a bigot, an uneducated dummy, for lack of a better way to put it. All in an attempt to take away your faith. Well, let's just compare. Let's take a moment. If you're an unbeliever, I'm a believer. I do not make apology because I believe in Jesus Christ. You know what I believe? I believe that the earth was created in 7 days, in 6 days. All right? I believe the Genesis account of creation. Right? 100% I'm sold out. But you'll go to places today and they will teach the theory of evolution as the gospel truth. You know? Yet it's entitled The Theory of Evolution. But your belief is that this world was created by an explosion. And that through that explosion, life came. And throughout the course of billions of years, that we evolved from an amoeba to a higher life form, and we became fish and we swam around a while, and we climbed out of the ocean and grew a tail and swung from the trees a while, and our tail fell off and we started walking on 2 feet and we became man. That's your belief. My belief is a lot quicker and easier. God created the heavens and the earth. Period. And we were created in the image of God. So, oh, brother, that's just uneducated nonsense. Really? Let's compare. What have you ever seen that was created by an explosion? I've seen explosions. I've seen hurricanes. But I've never seen anything created by hurricanes, explosions, tornadoes, natural disaster. That tears things up. It does not create things. Okay? Makes no sense. Let's go back over to mine. If I'm wearing a watch, right? Somebody had to make that watch. If I'm talking on a cell phone, somebody had to make that cell phone. And I want to tell you what. The cell phone that I have in my pocket was not created by an explosion that climbed out of the water and evolved into the tremendous iPhone that it is today. It didn't. It was created. It was made. Right? You see, it just makes more sense. Is there the leaven of unbelief in you? That's the big one. Because Jesus came to this earth to live and to die so that you can have eternal life. And to say, no, Jesus, I do not believe in you. It's one of the greatest disrespects that you could pay toward the Son of God. Then we go on. Beware of the leaven of Herod. You know Herod, right? He was the political guy. The leaven of Herod is all about political acceptance and getting along with the Roman government. You know, if you go back in that day. So, the leaven of Herod is political correctness. You say, Brother Doug, I'm not political, so I'm all right. Well, let me ask you this. Especially young people. High school students, college students, and adults for that matter. But do your values change based upon the people that you are keeping company with? You know what I'm saying? Do you not drink alcohol until you go to that party and somebody said, come on, have a beer. And you say, no, I don't drink. You big sissy, you mama's boy. Are you going to change? See, that's political correctness. It happens in young people, college students, even adults. You know, and in our society, we have come to that point where it is a terrible thing to pronounce sin as sin. I've seen a lot of preachers who were asked, well, is homosexuality a sin? And they say, yes, homosexuality is a sin. Then the media and everybody descends on them like the plague, and they back up and they say, well, let me explain. Well, listen, you know what's wonderful? 55 years old I turned this month, a couple weeks ago. You know what's wonderful about 55? I don't have to care what everybody thinks anymore. I don't mean to be offensive. I really do not. I don't have the right to abuse anybody, whether in word or deed. Okay? But I do have the responsibility to stand upon the principles of God's Word. And I will do that. It's not okay to be politically correct when you compromise what you believe as a child of God. Then we go on. Beware of the leaven of immorality. Happening in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul said, it's reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as not even named among the Gentiles, that a man should have his father's wife. You know what's sad in the world today? And I'm not presenting that we're perfect, because we're not. But listen, it's really sad when you can't tell a child of God from an unbeliever. Okay? And we're living in that day. People who claim to profess Jesus Christ, yet live like the devil. What's wrong with that? You got to purge out the old leaven. If you are a child of God, and I'm not suggesting that you'll be perfect. I'm not. But I am suggesting that it's not okay to live in sin and excuse it away. The idea behind this feast of unleavened bread was to get rid of the sin. Yeah? That's what Jesus did. That unleavened bread represented Jesus and Him taking away the sin. But it also reminded us that we've got to continually be on guard because Satan is trying to detour us away from our convictions. So my challenge to you today is this. Make a search. Look in the corners, the cracks, the places that you've not looked in a while. Ask God, Lord, show me my sin. Point out to me where I failed. You know, I don't know how many times I can't count the number of times I've heard people say, Brother Doug, I just feel empty. Most of the time, the reason we feel empty is because our sin has separated us from a loving God. Okay? Do the search. Do the search today. Call out to God. God, expose my sin. Show me where I fail. I don't want to live distant from You. Father, illuminate the sin in my life so that I may repent and turn to You. Maybe you're here today and you've never had the sin removed. You see, you need to have a saving experience with Jesus Christ. Right? You need to turn to Him because He is the unleavened bread. He was the sacrifice for your sin that died so that you could have eternal life. Oh, you've been following the crowd and doing what you want to do and pretending, oh, I'm happy. But deep down inside, you know this is not working. Let me offer you the solution, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. But here's the thing. You've got to make the move. Jesus made the first move when He went to the cross of Calvary on your behalf. Now the ball is in your court. What shall you do? Repent. Repent. Lost person, come to Jesus. Saved person, open up your life, your heart. Say, Jesus, search me. Point out my sin. Our Father in heaven, as we come to this invitation, I pray Your will be done. Father, we need You. So often we go through this life ignoring sin, covering up sin, and doing everything except dealing with sin. So today, Lord, convict us of sin. Show us, Lord, the sins that separate us from You. And give us a repentant heart. Move among us, Lord. You knowing this congregation, You know what everybody is. And You know what all of us can be. So now, Lord, I pray Your will be done in Jesus' name.